Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. If you would like more information on Exchange, please visit us online at www.exchangechurchbelfast.com.
It's really, I'm going to start a new series today called Flow, and it's called, it's about understanding the love of God. Okay, when I've been preparing this this series, I'm pretty excited about it, and sometimes I kind of really get things out of order a little, but I remember, I have, those of you who know me know that I have many qualities.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm totally underwhelmed. All right, but I do have many qualities, and one of them is I'm endlessly patient. And for those of you who have dealt with me, you'll know that my patience knows no bounds. And I'm totally joking. And so here's the thing. I was teaching Penny how to drive a number of years ago because she got a job as a P1 teacher and she had to learn how to drive to get to school. And I remember one day being, we were in the what do you call it, the Harbour State. Okay, brand spanking new Clio, the first one. So I worked for Renault. She got the when Clio model changed, I got the first one. They pulled it off the covers, and that was Penny's car. Sat for 3 months outside our house because she refused to learn how to drive it. So I said, right, here's the deal of the car's going back unless you get in to that car and you start to drive it. So we're going down through the Harbour Estate, and I'm saying, okay, Penny, you know, I want you to take, giving her about 3 miles notice, the next left. So Penny drives straight past it, okay, in like one way, dead ends, all this. I go, okay, but let's try it again. Let's go right. Penny, you know, starts to go left. And I'm going, no, Penny, right, the other right, the other right. You know, go right. And it quickly dawned on me that she doesn't know her left from her right. All right? Pretty fundamental, you think. If you look at my wife, the way, if you ask her today, Penny, turn left, this is what she'll do. And I want you all to check. She looks at her thumbs. Because she used to suck one and not the other. And so she knows that one's been sucked out of all shape, so that's my left. And I guess, you know, that's fine until you're learning how to drive. And you go, Penny, turn left, and she goes and looks at her thumbs, okay? It's very fundamental to learning how to drive that you know which way you're going. That's the point, isn't it? And today, I mean, it's kind of a funny story. It ended up that my dad had to teach her how to drive because we were going to get divorced after 3 months of marriage, all over the whole aspect of driving. But when there's something so very, very fundamental, okay, we can often overlook it and we can think, you know what? You know, we just assume that people know left from right, don't we? Because we talk about left and we talk about right every day, but there are thousands of people out there who just don't. My wife is very intelligent. She just doesn't know her left from her right. Whatever way she's been plugged up in there, it's like, I'm thinking, how do you get through life not knowing this stuff, for goodness sake? And to be honest, that's what this series is a little bit like in a spiritual sense. It's all about understanding the love of God. And whenever I say the love of God, we think, yeah, we get that. It's left and right. But actually, what we're going to discover over these next 8 to 9 weeks, because I'm going to probably push it out that far, because it touches every area of our lives. As soon as I say, we want to talk about the love of God, I bet you most people's reaction is, well, I understand that. I understand what the love of God is. I know, is your second reaction probably, I know that God loves me. We think that we understand this concept, and it's like, why do we ever need to talk about the love of God? I know, I hear it all the time, God loves me. I know that I'm supposed to love God. What's the big deal? But actually, it's as fundamental as left and right. And actually, what we're going to discover over these next few weeks is that actually in our lives, whenever things are not quite lining up as they should be, the most fundamental building block of why that doesn't happen is that there is a misunderstanding of how much God loves us. The Bible goes in to explain all that kind of stuff. And I want to encourage you that over these next 8 weeks, that as you look at your life, and you look at where you tend to buy into the same old cul-de-sac and buy into the same old blocks, I will tell you this. We've talked about your identity in Christ, and that is important. I'm not taking away from any of that teaching, and we're going to continue to preach that until we really get it. But the point is this, it is all built on a foundational block of the love of God and understanding the love of God. And if we never understand the love of God, I'm going to show you, I'm going to throw out some ideas today as an introduction about how, if we fail to grasp that's not up here but in here, that actually life doesn't work. And your Christian life certainly doesn't work, and we tend to get ourselves into a bit of a mess. You know, and for me as well, I kind of think, how do I ever convey such a massively, massively, massive thing as the love of God? I feel like kind of a gnat standing at the bottom of Everest going, how the heck do I explain this? But I want to tell you now, if you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, it's not my job for you to grasp and get a revelation. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And your job is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Your job is to sit here and go, okay, Lord, this is truth. I hear it. But Lord, I want you to take it from here into here. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, his job, as we've been talking about over these last number of weeks, is to show you how much God actually loves you. that God is not upset with you. God is not angry with you. And more and more and more, the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into an understanding of how much love there is towards you from God. That's what he's going to do. And I really want to encourage you, don't sit back and go, I know this. Because actually, as we start to look into the Word of God, and we start to look at what the Word of God says, I think I'm finding my own life, even this week, there's big gaps for me. And what I find is it's not an issue of me having to try harder or to understand more in terms of a kind of cerebral sense, but actually, where there's a gap in my life, I need to know the love of God in that area. Because as I understand the love of God in me, and I'm going to talk about that, it starts to work out of me. That's the way it works. So that's what we're going to talk about. Absolutely. Got all this road there. Oh. Absolutely everything starts and ends, and that's what happened there. Okay, absolutely marvelous. Okay, I went all North Road. Okay. I want to tell you this. This is the key that you need to build your life on. The person of Jesus Christ and his love for you is what you need to build your life on.
Come on.
That's it. And I really want to encourage you. Do not sit back and go, God loves me. Whatever. It is the most fundamental, radical truth that if we grasp it, will change us forever. And not just change us, but will change this world. And that's what we are called to. It is a revelation of Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. And so you might think, do you know what, David? Teach us cool stuff. Let's get into thinking about cool stuff. And I don't know about left and right. I know it. I'm going to probably throw this out right now. I hazard a guess that all of us, as I talked about last week, need to grow in understanding of this. That's what Paul talked about when he wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, folks, grow in understanding. Grow in understanding of how much I love you. Grow in understanding of the power that's inside you. And all of us need to grow more and more and more. If we sit here and we think, I've nailed this, do you know what? You're going to miss so much of what God has for you. So much of it. Now, what's the problem with love? Most of us have a very varied experience of the word love. And so whenever I say it, it can actually bring up quite a difficult response. You know, we're constantly bombarded, aren't we, with what love is. One of the films I detest the most ever is Love Actually, okay? It's probably quite a cute movie, and culturally today it was quite a fun movie. I hated that movie, because it threw to me all the wrong images of what love is. You see, most of what passes for love today is lust, and I don't mean in a sexual sense. What I mean is in a sense of it's entirely self-serving, it's entirely self-centered, and love essentially is what can it do for me? Whereas a biblical love and God's love is the complete opposite. All right, it's the total opposite. And we have to understand that whenever we hear the words love, that actually it's going to bring up lots and lots of different reactions in us. And first of all, in our experience of being loved, most of us will have had varying kind of experiences of love, won't we? So we'll understand that whenever you've been in a position where you've had to receive love, whether it's from your parents, from your spouse, from your children, all of us have gaps. What I mean is there's hurts, there's disappointments. There are letdowns in life. There are times when it's been fantastic, but more often than not, whenever we talk about love, we understand where we've missed out on it. Also, if you think about how you've been giving love, I'm going to get into trouble here, okay, in a sense of not just sexual sense, but also we know that whenever we're called to love, we also know where we fall short. So it's not just in the receiving of love, it's when we've been called to give love, we know where we screw up, don't we? When sometimes we just can't be bothered. Sometimes you think, I know I need to do that, but I just, do you know what, I can't be bothered. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. And so when you put all that together and you mix it up and you come into a relationship with God where all we do is talk about God's love, talk about how much he wants to love us, how much we have to love him, about loving the world, all of a sudden all that mishmash of experience from receiving, giving, what we've learned, what we've received, all comes together and it completely clouds the issue for us. And we need to be honest about that. It all becomes a wee bit messy. And when the fundamental building block and foundation of your walk with Jesus becomes messy and untidy, then you're in trouble. So that's why in the New Testament, Paul, and we're going to look at a lot from John the Apostle, the Beloved, those were guys who talked consistently about how much God loves you. And how much, it doesn't matter anything else in this world, first and foremost, get a revelation and understand that God really loves you. He is passionately committed towards you. He only wills good stuff for your life. He doesn't will sickness, death, and depression, but he wills blessing and opportunity and increase and favour. That is the love of God, and we're going to explore all of those things. If you've got a Bible, quickly turn with me in Ephesians 3, all right? And if you haven't got your Bible, please bring it, because it's pretty important. So Ephesians 3, and we're going to start reading at 14 through 19. For this reason, this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, that's annoying me, and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is what we're going to look at. There are two words that are used there, okay? And I'm going to get a bit Greek on you here. Rooted is the word riso, which means to be fixed and established. So the first thing that Paul is saying is this: you need to be fixed and established in the love of God. And grounded, the word is familio, which means to be made stable. So the very first point that we're going to look at over these next few weeks is this, that Paul is saying that if you're not grounded in the love of God, if you don't understand and experience the love of God, in fact, your life will be unstable. That's, if you feel like your life goes, most of us go like this, okay? Some of us like this. Some of us peak and trough like some kind of mad ECG thing going on. That is not how God has it for you. If you're unstable in any area of your life, you need a revelation of the love of God in your life. That's the point, because as you understand God's love and you understand his commitment and his will towards you, that is always positive, always good, always on, as you get that, you start to stable out. And many people live their lives, whether they're Christians or not Christians, from pillar to post, don't know whether they're stuck or mounted. Why? Because they are not grounded in the word of God. They're not grounded in the love of God, sorry. It's the love of God which makes you stable in life. If you don't know God's love, if you haven't had a revelation of it, if it's just something that's in your head that you talk about and you kind of just never actually impacts your heart, to be honest, if I was to look at your life, I might say, well, I would probably see unstableness there. And not just unstableness and not being fixed and established just leads to misery, actually. So Paul says this: get fixed, get grounded and rooted. That means be fixed, established, and made stable. And then in verse 19, let's look at that. He says, well, I want you to know the love of Christ. And this is what this series is all about, which passes knowledge. That you, why? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. What the heck does that mean? Well, let's unpack it in the original language. He says this: I want you to know the love of God. I want you to know that God loves me. I sure would do that. I know that God loves me. That's not what he's talking about. The word to know here, I've used it a million times before, is gnosko. So what he is saying is this. I'm going to reread this in Greek. It's, I want you to gnosko. I want you to experience the love of God. I want it to impact and touch you. Why? And it's not just the love of God, it's agape, and we're going to unpack agape. So he says, I want you to experience the kind of love which is utterly committed towards your good all the time. All the time. God's agape love is God's commitment for your very best. God's commitment to never let you down. God's commitment to never leave you wallowing in sickness and death and depression. I want you to not just know this, I want you to experience. And then he goes on to say, do you know what? I want you to experience God's commitment to you, which goes way beyond, kleru is the word, way beyond measure of just knowledge, gnosis, okay? So what he said is this: the love of God, my prayer for you, and this is my prayer for you over these next number of weeks, is just that you would experience, that it would make and touch your life in a way that it has never done before, a revelation of God's love and commitment and will towards you that goes way beyond just something that sits in your head. That's the point. That's what he's saying. And as we do that, as we experience a revelation of the love of God, which goes beyond just what we think about or what we've ever thought about, we enter into the fullness, the pleroma, which is the power and the richnesses and the richnesses and the abundance of God. That's what he's saying. Get rooted. Get established. Be made stable. Have a revelation of how much God loves you that goes way beyond just this. Then you enter into the fullness of God. It makes perfect sense. If you don't get it, your life's unstable and you always miss it. But God's will for you is that you understand how utterly committed he is to you. That his love for you is not just something based on experience or based on your performance, based on what you do or what you say. It's an act of his will to always do good towards you, way beyond what we could ever simply comprehend in our mind. And if we approach this subject just with our heads thinking, I'm going to learn a couple of verses and I can probably pray those through, you're going to miss it, folks. I've been praying every day this week for me. God, show me how much you love me. It's okay to pray that. You can think about the cross and you can meditate on it. But I said, God, give me a revelation in my heart of how much you love me and you're committed to me. Because I don't want to be unstable. I want to be somebody who has the fullness of Christ in me and lives that out. That's so important. Here's the bottom line. Getting to know this. This is why this is so radically, radically important. If you get to grips with this, the love of God, and not just the head knowledge, it will radically and undeniably change you. Not just, as somebody said to me this week, from the peak out. It's not a great expression. I always say that from the peak out. That made me laugh. You know, so how much of your Christian walk is from the teeth out? Do you understand what that means? I would talk about it, but actually that never makes a change or a difference. Do you know what, folks? You know, this is what really gets me whenever I'm going to stop up and go for it. In the whole area of healing, I get really, really confused why we talk about three sets of verses. It's totally irrelevant, all right? I can write them in Greek backwards and frontwards, and you know what? It won't make a button of difference. But whenever you understand that God loves you, that his will is always good towards you, healing doesn't become an issue. Because you understand that you've got a loving Father who always wills good, who always wills life, who always wills favour, who always wills blessing. And so it's a total irrelevance to go, well, Isaiah says this. You're missing the point. Get a revelation of a God who gave it all. Get a revelation of a God who sent his Son to hang on a cross, butchered for you. When you understand that and you see it and you get a revelation of it, how could you say anything else other than God is for you and he wants the very best for you? I am not ashamed of that. That's the power of God. That's the love of God. And you know what? As we understand more and more God's love towards us and how he showed it and how he wants to reveal it, all of that stuff becomes irrelevant. You don't even need to think about your healing. You don't even need to think about your provision. Why? Because you're in the arms of a Father who loves you, who will never do anything but love you, who will never do anything in your life but for good. That's the whole point. And if you're wandering around going, well, I don't really know, get a revelation for goodness sake of God's love and commitment to you. It will change you radically and undeniably. That's my point. Also, it will radically and undeniably change the world around you. If you're struggling in your family, in your relationships, in your job, and in your children, often our approach is, let's do it from the teeth out. Let's look at the externals, and hopefully if we look at the externals and the inside, things will change. Nonsense. What we're going to learn over these next 8 weeks is simply this. If you are not seeing something work in your life, get a revelation of God's love in your life. If you're not kind of cutting it with your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your spouse, get a revelation of the love of God for those people. I guarantee you it will change. Too much of this stuff is teeth out, folks, and we wonder why we're unstable. Gordon Bennett, Paul makes it really clear. Get rooted, get grounded, you start to stable out, and you enter into the fullness and the richness. I can't say that. All the rich stuff that God has for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I really want to encourage you. Don't sit with this. Verse 19, Ephesians 3:19, go home and read it. That his prayer is this, that you would understand experience. It's okay to talk about experience, folks. It's okay. God wants you to know and understand and feel his love for you that goes way beyond something that you'll read on a page. That's when you start to enter in fullness. Can anyone remember the days in TV when there was only three channels? You can remember black and white, can't you? You can remember when there was no TV. I remember sitting at my granny's house. Two channels, flipping north. I remember when there was three, and ITV used to come on at 25 past nine with a hello, good morning. And now we have lots of different TV channels. In fact, even on God TV, I'm a God TV fan. I don't care what anyone says. It's a fantastic resource for the church, okay? And if you don't have it, don't listen to all the naysayers who knock it. Just get into it. Okay, there's 14 channels, and 9 of them are people from Africa who shout at you. All right, let's be honest. Is everyone in Africa deaf? This is my question, because all these coloured folks just shout all the time. I'm like, whoa! Okay, but there's... that's really bad. But it's true, isn't it? So pick the other five, like, kind of... bad people shouting all the time. Because it freaks me out. So here's the point. This is what's happening, I think, and this is part of what we're going to look at in this series, is that we have entered into a world, particularly in the charismatic church, where there's a trend among people that we think, with all the resources that are available to us, that it's just about us. It's just about me and my situation, my loved ones, and bang, we stop short of thinking actually that there's a world out there. You know, and actually all the good teaching that feeds us and helps us, we need to be really careful that we don't make it into an end in itself. Like, so I can go to God TV, I don't need to engage with the church, because I can go to God TV and get all the teaching that I need. That is not the gospel. It's part of the gospel, but it's not the gospel, and it can be really counterproductive in your life. Why? Because sometimes even good stuff, whenever you just turn it in on itself, can make you really selfish. It can make you self-centered and reduce the gospel to nothing more than me and mine and making all of that stuff better. And over this series, one of the things of understanding the flow of God's love is that as God has not called us to be consumers of the Christian life, He's not called you to sit and get fat on good teaching. If we do that, do you know what? We're not ministers of the gospel. It'll not change God's love for us. It'll not change His commitment to us. It'll not change His will to us. But if we reduce this Christian walk to what suits us, and I even catch myself on, sometimes I love the home control, you know, that home man thing of touch the control and I do. But I'll flick, even on God TV, and I think, I don't want to listen, he's not that good. And I've been really challenged about that, actually. But God calls us to produce and not just to consume. And one of the things that a revelation of God's love does is that it actually frees you to love people. Johnny, I'm going to give you an example. Where's Hobson? It's a wee bit like this. And the reason why I'm going to do this is because, as a church, this is not what we're going to be like. Johnny, do you like Dickens?
Oh, nice.
This is not prepared. All right. Do you like Dickens?
Oh, yeah.
Let me give you a biggie. You love Ben. Have one. Nice, isn't it? Like that? Come on. Come on. It's like anything. You see, folks, when we receive something good, we all love biscuits, don't we? But there's a point of this, like, when you keep eating biscuits, come on, get it into your mouth. Oh, it's fabulous. But there's a point of this. There's so much of the Christian walk, you better sum that up. You know, here, have a moment. At what point do you think you'll become sick? Keep eating, John. See, the point is this. Sometimes there's things in life that are good. If you keep feeding yourself with good stuff all the time, are you actually dying?
No.
Do you want to go sort that out? Give Johnny a round of applause. You can't live your Christian life like that. That's the point. And so many of us do. So many of us live our Christian lives stuffing ourselves, thinking that it's about us. Whatever pleases me, whatever suits me, just give me more, 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 more. And actually, particularly in the charismatic church, I believe this is an issue. Because God never did that. And what's the big difference? As a church, we will not be a church that just gets fat on the Word of God. Why? Because the gospel is for you, but it's equally for the people out here. And this, whenever you experience the love of God, actually what happens is you're free to love other people. It lifts you out of your self-centeredness. It lifts you out of your pride. It lifts you out of your sense of isolation. It lifts you out of your sense of, I'll look after me first, and whenever I'm having all my needs are met, then I will turn and give the crumbs to somebody else. Folks, if we don't get a revelation of how much God loves us first, actually, most of what we have to do is we have to love other people. And that's not what the Bible ever talked about. I'm not going to say to you anywhere through this series, you have to do anything. Now, you might think I'm copping out. Well, no, actually, my prayer is this, that we get such a revelation of God's love in us. The Bible never described it as you have to, you have to. Don't take that as you can miss all your responsibilities. Because God says we have responsibilities to love. But here's this. The Word of God talks about it this way. Experience God's love and you will naturally overflow with it. Experience it. Understand it, and you will not be able to help yourself but love. I was washing the car with Ben a couple of weeks ago, and I was standing, and all of a sudden, there was no water. All right? And what I did was I went back through all the, it's quite a long hose, went through back, got all the kinks out, still no water. And I'm going, what the flip? It's And then I went back and said, Ben, what's going on? He said, I switched the tap off. And I was like, ah, that'll be it. Okay, after 10 minutes, like pulling the hose out, putting it back in, and the wee stabber caught and switched the hose off. I said, oh, I don't want that on, darling. All right, great. But the point is this. If you're not flowing out, okay, there's no point in kind of massaging the hose. Go back to the source, because if it's not flowing into you, it's not going to flow out of you. That's the point. And so many times we're told, and sometimes we struggle, don't we? We struggle to love our wives at times, sometimes we struggle to love our husbands. Our kids sometimes can crack us up. You can go backwards and forwards and ask the Lord to give you a revelation of His love for you. Because as you understand more and more about how much God loves you, and it's not just up here, that will start to flow out of your life. I've been really challenged. Whenever I think, I can't be bothered to do that for somebody, God's shown me this week, I need to get a revelation of love. I need to get a revelation of love. We can come to a place where we're so captured by God's love that we can't help but let it come out of us. God never intended your life to be a chore. He never intended it to have a sense of huffiness. Being here before, done that, said, can't really be bothered. Ah, well, sure. If that's where you're at, have a real good honest look. Because you're not flowing in the love of God. It's really that simple. And that's not to condemn you, but it's to give you a pointer to go, actually, if I'm not flowing out in my family, if I'm not flowing out in my workplace, if I'm not seeing, and I'm talking for me here, we've talked this morning about miracles and healings and deliverances and all that. Well, all of that is based on understanding how much God loves us. And if it ain't flowing out of us, folks, it's probably not flowing in. Because that's what the way the Bible tells us. The whole point is this. And as much as I want us to understand God's love, in understanding God's love, we understand that actually it's not just for us. And Exchange Church Belfast, we say that we want to connect people to God. And if you're part of this church, or you come along to this church, I want you to understand that this is part of our DNA, for want of a better word. It's that we are called on mission to connect people out there who have no idea that God Himself has given it all. He has hung on a cross, bled, died, and rose again, so that they might be free in every area. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for everyone who believes under their salvation. That is, I am not ashamed of it. And this church is not ashamed to stand up and say, do you know what? If you come along this church and think, what's that about? Well, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, every single bit of it. Why? Because we are called to be loved and to love, and to have that flow right. You know, it's God's kind of love that we're going to talk about next week that's in us and through us. That's the kind of love that heals sick people. It's the kind of love that saves lost people. It's the kind of love that sets depressed people free. It's the kind of love that restores husbands and wives, that restores parents and children. It's the kind of love that turns around helpless, lost cases, sets them right, and gives them a destiny and a future. That's what we're called to as this church, and that's what we're going to do. That is what we are going to do, unashamedly. Unashamedly, we're going to flow in the love of God.